This is Word of Mouth from NHPR. I'm Virginia Prescott. From the moment we wake up to the moment we fall asleep, we are interacting with some kind of technology, from the radio or smartphone you use to hear NHPR, to the keyboard I use to type this script, to the zipper you pull to close up your jacket. Understanding how these things work can be as easy as seeing how a wedge works, in the case of the zipper, or as complex as a controller chip that translates your finger touching a smartphone into a request to open an app. And that is why we need our next guest, a man often referred to as America's explainer-in-chief. David McCauley is author and illustrator of several award-winning books, beginning with The Way Things Work, that was published back in 1988. An updated edition called The Way Things Work Now is a visual guide to technology that was pretty much science fiction about 30 years ago, from levers to lasers and windmills to Wi-Fi. And David joins us now from Vermont Public Radio in Norwich, Vermont. And David, welcome to Word of Mouth.
Thank you very much.
So glad to have you with us. We've been following your books, many of us, for a long time, which you've updated in 1998, again in 2004. Are you surprised at what has changed in the world since the first or even that second edition just 10, 12 years ago?
One of the things that sort of strikes me when I think about the changes and the sort of digital revolution and so on and so forth, when we did The Way Things Work originally back in 1988, it was 400 pages, and it still is, but it was alternate full color, two color, full color, two color, because it just to save printing costs. Now it doesn't matter. You can print the whole thing in two color or four color, and it won't make any difference. So that's a change that directly affected this physical object that I seem to be wedded to.
So it is still 400 pages, which means that some things had to be removed in order to make way for newer technologies. What are some of those things that you had to let go of?
How about the VCR?
What's that?
Yeah, right. The cassette recorder. The best old stuff is still there. My favorite old stuff, the best examples, whether it's a lawn sprinkler or a bicycle or
Screws,
rockets, zippers. Rockets have changed. And so the rocket in the newest edition is a new rocket. It was the space shuttle, I think. And that's obviously gone. You know, so there are little things here and there. It's been mostly a process of compression rather than elimination.
Well, VCR goes, but Blu-ray gets added in. Now, this is interesting that despite all the new technology, vinyl is making a comeback. So how do you somehow make room for that? Do you see maybe that someday Blu-ray discs are going to see a renaissance like vinyl is now?
Yeah, I mean, anything is possible. And I still have the drawings, so they can easily be slipped back in if necessary. I think, though, that the thing that makes the decisions work for us is that we're always talking about the basic principles behind things, not necessarily specific pieces of technology. So you'll read the book and you'll see that it's, you know, the Blu-ray as opposed to the CD player. The color of the light has changed, but the concepts are the same. And the book from the very beginning was really all about what are the concepts that seem to underlie basic forms of technology, from the simplest physical machines to the more sophisticated digital contraptions.
Well, I could see line drawings for machines like an old automatic transmission or the basics of a crane. But is there a challenge for you in making these new technologies, often sort of digital technologies and computer keyboards, looking, I don't know, homey, for lack of a better word?
Right. There's been a challenge from the very beginning, because as technology for communicating information has improved, I do think, what am I doing drawing these arrows for when we could animate this? You know, this could be a little bit of video, and I wouldn't have to draw the arrows. I would use arrows only for reinforcement. But there is something fundamentally clear about an arrow. We know how to read them. So whether you're trying to follow an electrical circuit or movement of light hitting a reflective surface and bouncing back, it has a place. And And it still works in a very, very basic way. So I guess it does give even the most up-to-date technology a kind of friendly face because it's still being told using some of these very old devices and means. And I think that's part of the reason why the book continues to succeed.
And we still have our woolly mammoth standing in for us, plodding from page to page.
Absolutely. I have to point out about the woolly mammoth, though, that was not a corporate decision or a focus group. That was desperation on my part. When I was first brought into this and I was trying to figure out, looking ahead at the daunting task of having to deal with 400 pages worth of machines, the question in my mind is, how is this going to be fun for me to do? I mean, I love learning about things, but there's a point. And I thought, in terms of that simple technology, levers and ramps and whatnot, this has probably been around for a while. So I'm going to just draw some cave people looking at a log and a rock, and they'll put the log on the rock and they'll rock it back and forth and they'll play with it. And then they'll realize that, you know, it has these properties. It can be, you can use it as a scale and so on. But what do you weigh? And I had scribbled a mammoth sort of like vision in the back of an illustration, sort of on the outskirts, watching curiously as these little characters played. And before I knew it, the mammoth was on one end of the log. The villagers from the cave were on the other end, and they were sort of balancing and so on. And that started the ball rolling. I fully intended, and I told the publishers this, that once we had finished Simple Machines, the mammoth could go because it really was going to be forced into the world of flight and pressure. But they convinced me that probably that was not the best idea. And, you know, lo and behold, the mammoth has survived and continues to survive. And I think, you know, in some ways represents the perfect victim of technology.
I'm speaking with David McCauley. He's the illustrator and author behind the, I'm going to say, mammothly popular book, The Way Things Work, which has been updated now to The Way Things Work Now. I think part of the mammoth walking through and representing us is a way to make friendly or make even the most complex concepts approachable by breaking them down into digestible pieces. You know, how a valve opening on a thermostat versus a valve closed will change how it functions. So was there anything that you might have wanted to include, but you just couldn't figure out a way to illustrate it, to simplify it and break it down?
No, I think there are probably things that are more effectively presented because of that approach of breaking down into smaller pieces. But there are other things that are, well, they can only be broken down so far. And yet not to include them in a way looks like a gap, looks like an oversight. For instance, we were working on the you know, additions to the new version, and we'd completely forgotten the hybrid car. Now, the car is a major part of The Way Things Work. It sort of goes all the way through the original edition of The Way Things Work. So I was actually at a soccer game watching my son play and chatting with the father of one of the other players. And he asked me, he said, well, you've got the hybrid car, right? And I went quiet and probably a little ashen. And I said, no, you know what? That, and I immediately, well, game was over. I don't know whether we won. But I, you know, got on the computer and contacted London and said, hey, you know what? Think about this. We've really forgotten something, I think, big here. And so it's in there. Now, having said that, it's still a fairly simple set of drawings for the hybrid. But its presence is critical and the information is adequate to suggest what the basic differences are.
When you are researching new technologies, the hybrid car, I'm thinking 3D printers, or even virtual reality. I'm looking at the virtual reality page now. Do some of these newer inventions just seem mind-blowing to you?
Yeah, some of them are a shock, I suppose, a little bit. But you get so used to them so quickly that those things that were a surprise are so quickly absorbed by me, at least, and become part of the standard. I know what's impossible. What's impossible is trying to really wrap your head around waves and even electricity. And, you know, that's where I am really stuck. there's a three-dimensional aspect to all of this. And yet I'm putting them on flat pages in a good old-fashioned book.
You do. I'm just looking at the Waves pages right now and thinking of this is a technology that's been around for a long time. You talked about other new technologies in the book. How about your own sort of approach from a technological perspective? You know, in the 1980s, when you started working on a book, this book, it was a very different process. You weren't sending out or even faxing, I don't think, at that point, you know, your pages to your publisher. How does it go now?
Everything was mailed. Everything was mailed back and forth, including the final art. The all the original art, the sketches, done on paper, copied and sent by some kind of courier between London and Rhode Island, which is where I was at the time. And, you know, I became really best friends with the FedEx guy. And when we moved to Vermont 10 years ago, that friendship sort of continued, although it was a new FedEx guy. And he was part of the process. And when I gave him this, you know, this package packed with pieces of paper, all of which had original paintings on them, I put a lot of faith in Carl. And he, you know, and they got the job done every time. Now the fact that I just, you know, kind of dial up some FTP site and watch the little duck for 20 minutes and it's all there. That's something that I'm incredibly grateful for. I was incredibly grateful for Federal Express. I guess I'm just a grateful person.
Do you know Randall Monroe of X?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. XKCD, he got a lot of attention, or has been getting a lot of attention right now for explaining climate change with a simple chart with stick figures. Mm-hmm. So this kind of role of you being the explainer in chief.
Yeah.
Do you think other people are catching on to that idea that actually simplifying things or making them a little more human is a great way to communicate them?
Oh, I think so. I think so. I don't think this is nothing I invented. I think that the best communication has always been that way because life becomes more complicated. Whether you start in 1920 or 1820, life is going to get more complicated. The pace is going to change. And therefore, complication is going to become more and more of a burden, I think, in some ways, more overwhelming. I think the need to simplify, to reduce things to basic elements wherever possible, to lay a kind of reliable groundwork for how things work without trying to predict what will actually need this kind of introduction and what ultimately will benefit from it. And then you may need to raise the level of that foundation at some point, or certainly introduce new elements to it as brand new things kind of pop up. But I think simplification, and it is stick figures, it doesn't matter what you choose as long as you are respectful of the information and the audience. And I think more than stick figures, I think a kind of gentle humor that doesn't undercut the credibility of the information is the best thing. For me, it's what I have to offer. And I want readers to have a smile on their face when they go through this book or any book I've created, because it tells me that they're not afraid of the possible complexity of the information we're going to present.
The way things work, the new way things work, the way things work now. Where do you think you're going to be? What's it going to be called in 10 years? Do you think, David McCauley?
The way things work with even more help. The way things work really slowly. I don't know exactly, but I know we will not be short of surprises and possibilities.
Well, Dave McCauley, thank you so much for speaking with us.
My pleasure.
David McCauley is author and illustrator of the award-winning The Way Things Work and its most recent update, The Way Things Work Now. You'll find a link to some of its wonder at our website, wordofmouthradio.org.